What it do, Clipper Nation?
It's Friday.
We made it, guys.
Hell yes.
It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers. We're the Locked On NBA Network. We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content. Some of it's pretty out there.
In the offseason, we're getting a little wacky.
Thanks for tuning in. If you haven't already, please subscribe on iTunes. Leave a rating and a review. We love it. Today we got a heck of a show lined up for you. We're going to be kicking things off with a little bit of talk about Ramona Shelbourne did kind of a deep Donald Sterling era 30 for 30, which is pretty interesting.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Landry Shamet turning down the Team USA offer, which if you listen to the pod, you know I'm loving.
I'm against that, but we'll get into that.
And then every Friday we do two segments. If you're unfamiliar, we always rank the Pacific Division, whether as a whole, individual players, sometimes more esoteric things.
Concessions.
Yeah, it can really be anything pertaining to the Pacific Division, especially in the offseason. And then every Friday, you know it. You love it. Love, marry, kill.
People love it, right?
We love it.
At least two people do.
Yeah. And we got an interesting one just kind of piggybacking on the Donald Sterling thing. So stay tuned for all of that.
Right now.
No.
So, quick note, we're going to talk about the Shamet stuff first because I feel like this was kind of some big news. Shamet has withdrawn from Team USA, preparing for, quote unquote, what could be a deep playoff Clippers run.
I like that his mind's in the right spot.
You like this idea because you hate Team USA basketball.
I think it's a waste of time. It's not even Olympic play, so.
Yeah, it's a situation where for me, I guess I'm bummed just because like getting the coaching would have been nice. So many good guards already dropped out that I'm not sure how, like it would have been great to play with, you know, like Harden and stuff like that, but those guys aren't there. So for me, I'm just kind of bummed he's maybe not getting some real solid coaching from the staff.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think that he's got a good enough coach that we don't really have to worry about that.
He's been well prepared for his rookie year so far that whatever he seems to be doing is working.
Yeah, and just with everything being moved so close to the season, to me it's just not really worth it. I don't think it's worth the extra play. I don't think it's worth the travel.
Injury.
It's not worth the injury. I know this isn't how it works. It's only how it works in my head. But I want these guys hanging out and just playing some games. Maybe just shooting the breeze. Maybe just meeting up for dinner.
Just every morning they all get on their bikes and meet at the ditch and
yes,
plan the day.
Yes. You know, they you know, maybe one of them finds a dead body. They take the rest of the kids there because everyone wants to see it.
Some Stand By Me type stuff would
yes,
be good. Bill
yes.
Simmons had a take on this situation. He tweeted out, "Hey Landry Shamet, do you want to spend a week working with some of our best NBA players and best coaches? No. 6 months ago, I was a throw-in in the Harris trade, and I've played a total of 6 playoff games. Not sure this Team USA experience can help me. Thanks, though." First of all, shut up, Bill Simmons.
Yeah, this...
He was not a throw-in.
No, this was a this was a huge asset for them to give up. They knew as much. We knew as much. So the idea that he's a throw-in is insane.
I tweeted out it. If you look at it...
Mike Muscala was the throw-in, all right? Just first and foremost, Mike Muscala was the effing throw-in.
Yeah, it goes... In terms of valuable things in that trade, it was... I still put the Miami pick above. And then Shamet, too. Pretty firmly, I think. He's not a throw. Our front office didn't go, "Wow, Wilson Chandler Muscala, you know what? Throw in that rookie who also is shooting 40% from three."
The only reason you can even put the Miami pick, in my mind, above Shamet is because people are tantalized by the idea of picks before they convey.
Oh, for sure.
So even with the season that Shamet was already having, proving himself as a great offensive piece, a solid guy who can really plug into any system, the idea still of like an unprotected first round pick, like the intangible
alluring
idea, I still think is more alluring. That's the only reason I would say second. I would think long term, though, depending on... No qualifiers. I'm going to say he was the most valuable asset of that trade.
I also like that I've only played in a total of 6 playoff games. He's a rookie, man. He was a rookie.
Yeah.
What do you want him to do? I'm so mad at this. I do kind of see like the coaching part. I understand that. But the best NBA players part.
I don't.
Man, there's some good coaching on Team USA.
He has a coach.
Yeah. But still, I think this goes to your last point about the tantalizing, alluring idea. I'm falling into that trap with the Team USA coaching, I think.
I mean, it's great, and it's a great staff, but like he has a coach. He's not going to work in these other coaches' systems. Not that like he couldn't, but like, what's the point?
You learn good discipline. You learn good drills.
He has both of that.
I don't know.
No, never cheated.
That's very true. But yeah, Bill Simmons, you know, I hope you feel better about this trade at some point. We have to touch on the Melo thing.
Yeah, okay.
Melo was on First Take.
Begging. Looking slim down.
Yeah, the classic please sign me weight loss.
He has
plan.
One less chin.
He said that he has been in contact with the Clippers, as well as a couple other teams. The Lakers were in there. Do you want Melo on the Clippers?
I don't know. I don't think so. I just don't really see where he fits in. You know, most likely playing the four. And especially this team has a defensive identity. We already have a little bit of a defensive issue on the second unit where he would be playing.
He would be playing the back end of the second unit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, pretty much. So I don't really see the fit. I do think that there could still be a market out there for Melo. I mean, I hope the best for him. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I just don't think. I also don't know that like Paul George and Kawhi would want that.
Oh, that's a good point. I don't think they would either, because everyone kind of has the you got to do your job mentality on this team.
Absolutely.
And Dwight Howard and Melo have both had this thing where it's like, man, I've really pretty much had my entire career. Now I'm ready to give my all to whatever team I'm on.
It's too late.
Man, like,
it's too late.
You're just having empty nest syndrome. You're just freaked out about moving on, which I understand. Everyone gets that. But he wants this farewell tour is what it seems like. Dwayne Wade has put this idea in guys' heads that
everyone deserves this somehow.
That everyone deserves
well, and the
Dwayne,
Kobe.
Yeah, and it's like
the Kobe farewell tour.
And those are two dudes where it's like, you absolutely deserve this. But a guy like Melo, who has had, I don't know, let's think about it this way, four different jobs where he hasn't delivered what was needed in any real way and kind of left unceremoniously from each one, who is bidding you farewell?
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's true. He never really... I feel like he never really showed loyalty to any team.
Yeah, and what fan base is... And also, like, what team does he go to get a farewell tour? The Knicks? Or the Nugget? Like, those are teams that he... In terms of teams he's played for, what team would even entertain that?
I don't know. I think the Nuggets would actually be really interesting. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to get a farewell tour. That's also not that's a contending team. That's not a farewell tour yeah. team, you know what I mean?
He's going to the Hornets or something. That's what we were talking about.
So, yeah, I think that the best fit for Melo is a franchise that needs butts in seats.
Yeah, dude, BIS. Butts in seats.
Always saying.
That's the new Hornets strategy.
Or the Kings.
The Kings?
I'm just interested. I just want to know what it looks like.
A Melo Kings jersey would look pretty tight, actually. All right, so Ramona Shelburne, let's get into this Donald Sterling stuff.
Let's do it.
Ramona Shelburne mentioned she has an upcoming documentary out in the next few weeks on the Donald Sterling era Clippers.
Pretty cool.
First of all, I'm so excited for this. It is going to be brutal to watch.
Oh, yeah.
She says, she had some interesting things to say. She says Sterling is like Voldemort in terms of, like, people don't even want to talk about him around the Clippers, which is totally true. There's still some vestiges that link that team to the Donald Sterling era. The name, the branding, the logo. She thinks there should be a rebrand.
Okay, like total rebrand, including the name?
Total.
Wow.
Yeah, and then she also dropped a cool nugget. The Clippers were supposed to be the second tenant in the Staples Center, but Donald Sterling was like dragging his feet and messed around with Anaheim a little bit and basically just played too much grab ass, and the Lakers were like, well, we'll be second. And they're like, fine.
Makes sense. So yeah, that makes sense.
Completely Donald Sterling's fault. Is this documentary going to be good or bad for the team, given it's coming out right when the season starts?
I think that it's good for the team because it just plugs into this narrative like of kind of this hard-nosed team. People who aren't familiar, which I think on a national scale or to the casual fan, people probably aren't familiar with the whole Donald Sterling saga.
Yeah, they know that one day, I think.
They know the one incident. But yeah, I think on a larger scale, it adds to the narrative of this team. I think that it adds to the likability because you can't call us an underdog anymore. But if you know the roots, like you know where we come from, I do feel like it is still an underdog story.
Absolutely. In terms of owners, we are. And my thing... with the name change is like, so if we change the name and get rid of Sterling, wouldn't it be cooler to win a chip under the Clippers name and then change the name? to me, it's like, this is, we powered through this. We're still the Clippers until maybe we move into the new stadium, which we might get that name change. That was like teased by Baum or whatever. But to me, it would be kind of cool if we were to get a chip to win it under the Clippers name, to be like, see how far we've, look at where we were 7 years ago. And under this Clippers name, we ended it on a great note.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think to change the name before we get a chip, which, you know, isn't an inevitability, but to change the name before we do that, I think would not be seen the thing all the way through.
It would kind of suck, right?
Yeah.
You can't run from your past. He was a horrible owner. He was our owner. We have to confront it.
Yeah.
And deal with it.
Oh, yeah.
I am going to be so excited what gets dropped in this documentary that people didn't know about before.
Definitely.
There's going to be some horrific stuff, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
God, he was such a terrible racist POS. Coming up after this, we're ranking the Pacific Division center cores. Some interesting numbers in here. Shout out to the Himalaya app if you're listening to us on there.
Summit, the mountain of pod.
So welcome to the Pactive Center Core Rankings, the perhaps way too early Pactive Center Core Rankings.
Okay. All right, what do you got? Do you want to...
I just put these in no order.
Okay, all right. So break it down a little bit. We'll talk about each one, and then we can give our rankings.
So I took everyone that was listed as a center on the roster for all the Pactiv teams, which, if you're not familiar, are the Clippers, Lakers, Suns, Kings, and the Warriors. I took a cumulative of their points, rebounds, and assists, average offensive rating, and then average their shooting splits.
Okay, so these numbers that you're going to be listing are cumulative for the...
For the stats, for the points.
For the total production.
So
okay.
For the Clippers, we have Zoo, Trez, and Fee. Obviously, Fee didn't factor into this because he's a rookie.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Combined, Zoo and Trez, 26 points, 16 boards, 1 assist. Offensive rating of 117, defensive rating 108.5.
Damn, not that is
bad.
Thick. Yeah.
Splits of 58, 8.5. A lot of these are skewed. 8.5 because Trez shot 17% on 17 total threes last year and Zoo shot 0. And then 72% from the line.
Okay.
Which is great. The Lakers, we got.
I think we could bump up that 3-point percentage to a solid, a meaty 17%.
The Lakers, we got AD, DeMarcus, and JaVale.
Okay.
Who combined for, this is nasty, 53 points, 27.5 boards, 8 assists. This is where it's interesting. Offensive rating, 116.
All right.
Defensive rating, 103. That's damn good.
Very good.
Splits of 53% from the field, 22% from three, 72% from the line.
All right. So JaVale is bringing this three-point shooting down. Does he take attempts?
No. AD shot 33% on 2.5 threes per game. Cousins shot 27% on 3 threes per game.
I feel like both these guys get really overrated in their
shooting.
In their shooting, for sure. Like,
for sure.
AD will I would guess, be taking more shots from outside this year, depending on how things look, just to open up driving lanes for LeBron. But yeah, that's not as impressive as I thought. Like 1 out of 3.
Yeah.
Eh? All right. What else we got?
Suns, we have DeAndre Ayton and Aaron Baines.
That is a power duo.
Yeah. 21 points. 15 boards, 3 assists, offensive rating of .117.5.
Okay.
Defensive rating 110.5.
I'm actually pretty impressed. I'm guessing that Baines is lifting the ceiling of this defense.
The defensive rating 100%. The splits are 52.5% from the field, 17% from 3. Baines shot 34% on 1 attempt, 8-0, and then 80% from the line. You like to see.
Yeah, oh, you love to see it. The only thing I would contest on this is that 17% from three, because
it's a non-factor,
is dragging that down. But Baines can hit the three somewhat reliably.
I mean,
not on a lot of attempts.
He's hitting
naturally.
He's hitting 1 every 3 games.
That ain't bad.
Not bad. Kings, this is kind of rough.
All right, what do you got?
Dwayne Dedman and Costa Cuofos. I apologize if I'm pronouncing that wrong.
Costa Cuofos.
Sure. 14 points. 12 boards, 2 assists. Offensive rating, .08. Defensive rating, .08.5.
All right.
Splits, 48%. Dedman, this is where it's nice. 48% from the field, 19% from three. Dedman shot 38% from three last year.
It's Costa Cuofos.
Cuofos, 0%. 61% from the free throw line. So that so far seems bad. The Warriors, Kevon Looney and Willie Cauley-Stein. 18 points, 13 boards, 4 assists. Offensive rating, 126.5, because Kevon Looney had a .135 offensive rating last year.
Wow.
Defensive rating, 108.5. Splits, 59% from the field, 30%. That is skewed because Willie Cauley-Stein made one of two attempts last year.
So all right.
And then this is brutal, 58.5% from the free throw line.
That is rough.
So who do you think? I think it's pretty clear who the best center core is.
I mean, Ayton and Baines, right?
I think it's the Lakers.
Yeah, it's definitely the Lakers. Yeah, the only thing that that jumps out to me is like I said, that 3-point shooting is a little bit lower than I would have thought. Also, they're shooting the same from the line as like Trez and Zoo. Like you would think with guys like AD and DeMarcus that they would be pretty solid free throw shooters.
Mm-hmm.
Cause those are guys that are going to, I would guess, see the line a lot when they're at the five.
Yeah. And I put AD in here, he might play the four, whatever, but there was a quote, I think,
he'll have Palinka to play the five in some lineup.
Yeah. They're talking about pounding the ball down low. And it's like, well, if you want to keep doing that, go ahead. But yeah, I just think these guys, I don't think we have an issue guarding AD or DeMarcus. A lot of people have been like, well, who's going to guard AD on the Clippers? Who's going to guard DeMarcus? And mm-hmm. if you look at who I think, and I'm assuming you think, is the second best center core, the Clippers, right, in the Pacific Division?
Yeah, I'd have to go.
I think it's a tie between the Clippers and the Warriors, actually.
I might put the Warriors over. I would put the Warriors over the Clippers just because Looney and Willie Cauley-Stein are both a little bit more proven consistency wise, and I know that I like have so much recency bias on Zoo, but yeah, I don't know. They're pretty close though.
Yeah, in terms of the Clippers guarding AD, it's team defense. So I'm not too with how defensive minded our team is. Obviously, I'm a little worried just because it's AD and he can torch anybody, but I think we're going to be semi-okay. I don't think we're ever going to shut him down completely because I think that's a really big thing to ask when the other big guy on the team is LeBron. But I think if Zoo can kind of shore up some of his defense and we can get the team defense rotating well, it won't be as big of an issue as some people make it out to be. Still going to be kind of a problem.
Yeah, I mean, getting stops against AD will definitely be hard. You know, JaVale can be a problem. DeMarcus, I'm like the least worried about at this stage of
his
career.
There's so many question marks with DeMarcus.
Oh yeah, and you know, I think he'll bounce back. I still just don't know what we'll see, especially and on the other end of the floor. I'm not that worried about this team. Like when they're defending us, I'm just really not that worried about any of these guys. AD, very good defender for
sure.
Oh, yeah,
but DeMarcus and JaVale, it's like fine.
Yeah.
That's totally okay. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I want to see I was surprised that our centers average 72% from the line. Most of that is Zoo hitting 80%.
Yeah. Well, Trez has improved every single year. I think he was at 65. Let me just look that up
quick. It was not very good. And we might see some more. I actually think our field goal percentage might go down, but I think that's because we're going to see maybe some more jumpers.
He was 64% last year, so I was really close. But
yeah.
I think if you were to take, I haven't looked at it recently, but if you were to take like the post All-Star break numbers, I think that they're actually better than that.
Right around 70%, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the free throw percentage is going to go up. I think the field goal percentage might go down, but I think we might see I don't know. There's kind of a mystery with Trez's offensive game. I'm wondering what he's going to add in terms of jumpers and stuff that he's going to be confident and good enough to do in games.
Yeah, I mean, I think adding like a little hook or something from the outside would be great. You know, we've seen him do like pretty close jumpers. I don't think that he needs to stretch the floor.
No, yeah, I don't think we're not asking him to shoot threes.
Not of the opinion that he needs to stretch the floor at all. If he could come back and have the same type of production that he had last year and add a little bit better free throw shooting, that to me is already a success, let alone him being able to handle the ball a little bit better, maybe move it a bit.
Assist numbers going up would be great.
That'd be huge.
I think these guys can definitely combined average more than one assist.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially, you know, we keep hearing again and again about, you know, Doc's his like assurance in Zoo's passing game.
Yeah, didn't really ever see it last year.
I was gonna say we haven't seen it, but you know we only got him for 24 games or whatever, and
yeah,
he did have two broken hands.
So you put, and then you maybe ranked the Warriors a little bit ahead.
Yeah, I would put the Warriors a little bit ahead.
Looney looks good, dude.
Looney's
a great player for that.
He's a great player. I like Willie Cauley-Stein, especially if he just goes back to just being a traditional center.
Yeah. Wait, you don't want him to shoot threes at a 50% clip, you lunatic?
No, thank you.
No, I think and Looney has really bought into the Warriors and their whole almost kind of new identity that they're forming.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like, so that's good. Who do you have? Do you put the Suns ahead of the Kings? Because I think I have to.
I'm putting the Suns ahead of the Kings. You
Ayton
have to
is
just for
so
the,
much better than either of those guys.
Yeah, just for the potential of Ayton, and I really like Aaron Baines. He's a great
Baines head, dude.
He's a great locker room guy. You know, the Celtics struggled without him, and it wasn't talked about enough. But yeah, I mean, he's a solid player. He's a solid contributor. It's a bummer that he's going to be on the Suns, but yeah, I still think it's pretty solid.
Baines is one of those guys who is not afraid to get dunked on, which is a very awesome trait to have. Do you think some of that might rub off on Ayton and turn him into a grittier defender or something?
I would love that.
That'd be really cool. And then, yeah, I got to put the Kings dead last.
Yeah.
Deadman's good. He's pretty good. But, like, neither of these guys have a bunch of speed, and the Kings are kind of built to run you out of the gym.
Oh, that's a good call. I guess I didn't even think about that. Like if the transition play will suffer at all.
Yeah, and Deadman shot 38%. That's not bad, but they need another center.
Yeah.
They need to make a trade. They might trade or something.
What does Willie Cauley-Stein do for that Warriors transition play?
I don't know.
I think that he elevates it.
I think he makes the oop potential infinitely higher.
Oh, yeah.
than that. But there's some pretty good... The Lakers-Clippers down-low battles are going to be really fun to watch this year.
Yeah,
I'm going to be excited to see when Zoo's really feeling it and decides to challenge AD at some point at the rim. It's going to happen, dude.
Yeah.
Zoo tried to dunk on DeAndre Ayton like a minute into a Suns game last year, and it was pretty dope. So if he could get one on AD this year, I would be pretty content.
Love it.
So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting year with the centers.
Would you stay... Do you think that this is the Clippers' biggest weakness against the Pacific Division?
Yes, 100%. Only because AD is in the division. If you take AD out and put literally anyone else other than maybe Karl-Anthony Towns, Embiid, and that might be it.
Yeah, that's fair.
For the Pac Div.
Steve Adams?
Not athletic enough to truly punish us like these guys, I don't think.
Yeah, that's
with that
that's
new
true.
Roster.
That's true, yeah.
But yeah, I really think the Lakers are the only ones who are going to give us trouble. And Kevon Looney, singularity-wise, but not as a core, I guess, with the rest of the guys.
All right.
I would like to see another interior defender out of it, but I'm not sure. I mean, Dwight Howard or Joakim Noah are the only real options for like those guys who get those pieces of minutes, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'd much rather Noah than Patterson.
I feel that. Do you think the Kings sign Noah or Dwight Howard?
It seems like they could use it.
I was going to say it. They might, dude. Oh, man. Let us know what you guys think about the center situation in the Pacific Division. Coming up next, we got a very, not very special, actually, Donald Sterling edition of Love, Marry, Kill.
All right. So this one is all about cost-cutting methods Donald Sterling probably tried.
Yeah.
What do we got on the board?
So if, for those of you who don't know, Donald Sterling, other than being a horrible racist and human being... Very cheap man.
Yes, very
noted.
Cheap.
Infamously wanted to try and reuse ankle tape for the Clippers, which makes my head hurt. So I was just wondering, what else do you think that he tried? I got a couple options on here. Feel free to add your own.
Okay.
Twice the price night. Everything just costs twice as much.
I like it. It's like your unhappy hour idea.
Yeah. One player rotates each week having to wash the team's jerseys.
Oh, because then you can have less locker room staff.
Yeah, exactly. He goes McCourt style, the former Dodgers owners, and turns off the water fountains during the game so people have to buy water. Also, makes the bathrooms cost a quarter to use.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think that it's legal in the United States. I don't think that you can charge for a bathroom. I think there was federal stuff on that. But, you know, private property, so...
Knowing Donald Sterling, I'm sure he knows all about what you can do and not do on private property. And then another one, The only snack at the game is free peanuts, no trash receptacles. So they're just going straight on. You don't have to pay for it.
I'm going to add bring your own towels.
For the players?
Yeah. players have to supply their own towels. And then
it's BYOE. It's bring your own equipment.
Yeah. And then number two is going to be no practice facility. The guys are expected to go to the Venice courts every single day, play their way onto the court, hold down the court, and then they can shower off with the hobos in the public room.
That's
the public
practice.
Restrooms.
I'm going to add one more.
All right.
Only three basketballs. There's only three basketballs for the whole team, for the whole thing. So which of these are you loving, marrying, and killing? This became a real brainstorm situation.
It really did. It's so hard. I guess I'm loving bring your own towels.
Because
it's so absurd.
And it's something, it just sucks because some of these
But
seem
you save
real.
Money on the laundering. You yeah. save money. Towels are not cheap.
Towels are not cheap. All right, so you're loving bring your own towel. Can they wash at the facility?
No, they're eliminating the washing machine in this.
They're taking them out first day of the practice.
Yeah.
All right, what are you marrying?
I'm marrying, man, I'm just loving my own here. I'm marrying the no practice facility.
No practice facility is great.
I think, that eliminates so many costs.
Practice facility. The sheet would say practice facility, : go find a court. And which one of these are you killing?
And just the idea of all the guys like just dominating fools on like the Venice courts, like especially like the
like not the main Venice court, like the so there's like a bunch of courts at Venice, and there's one main one where like the players play.
Yeah,
but you got to work your way up to that one.
Oh yeah,
so those
sure.
guys are starting.
But just imagining like Odom and Miles and stuff out there is really funny to me.
Yeah.
So
which one of these are you killing?
Killing. I mean, honestly, if we're being honest, all of these should be killed.
Oh well, yeah, obviously. But we can't kill.
Yeah.
Maybe disclaimer: we're not pro any of these terrible ideas.
No. I guess I'm gonna kill twice the price night.
That's such a good idea, dude.
Just because I feel like I don't actually know how money in the stadium works from the concession stands. I don't know if they're independent operators. I don't know if like, you know, it's like a racketeering situation where they pay for protection from Donald Sterling. So I don't know how much money is to be made or saved. It's also not a saving measure.
Oh, it's all making money, baby.
It's more of a profit measure. So
got to recoup your losses from the water bill.
That's true. So I'm going to go ahead and kill that one.
I'm actually going to love that one.
Okay.
Because I think with how stupid some people in the city of Los Angeles are, twice the price night could be seen as a status thing. You could say, I disagree. We don't have the money to do that. So I understand that mentality. But I can see people being like, oh, Lakers Clippers is twice the price night. I'm going to go ball out and show everyone that I can do this.
Well, what if I think they would name it something just like a limited drop night, and they would just have the regular stuff that they have, but it would be for twice the price.
Yeah. So I'm loving that one. I'm going to marry the only have three basketballs idea. Because a team just, it's so, because like, say,
people, practices would have to go so long because people would wait to use
yeah.
the ball.
And say, I don't know, two of them are flat. There's no pump, obviously. And this is bring your own basketball. It's BYOB. So
then why would there only be three? Couldn't everyone bring a basketball?
No, everyone's so tired. Everyone forgot, dude. They're playing on the worst team in the league right now. It'll deal with Donald Sterling. All right, you know what? I'm actually going to kill that idea.
All right.
I'm killing that one. I think I'm going to marry the one player rotates each week having to wash the team's jersey.
I like that, yeah.
Because, like, Darius Miles having to watch everyone's jerseys, or, like, think about Michael Olowokandi. Like, everyone thinks he's going to be so great, and then he washes your jerseys, and, like, they're just not washed very well, and you're like, wait, we've made a huge mistake.
What if this carried over to current times and Kawhi just like crushed it and like nicely folded everything?
Oh,
people
he would.
People were like, oh, wow, my shit's never been this crisp.
This is very clean. Kawhi would be like, thank you. Then he just go
you can wash the jerseys on all temperature and the colors don't run.
Yeah, Kawhi's got all the laundry chips. That's a good love, marry, kill, dude. Donald Sterling was such a terrible human being.
Yeah, shout out to Donald Sterling, a real piece of crap.
Excited for that 30 for 30 that's going to come out.
Definitely.
I think it's going to be very well done and very terrifying. That about wraps it up. Anything, any other loose ends? We didn't even have a shaving segment right now.
No, no shavings. I don't think I have anything to add. There's no news on the Patrick Patterson front.
Yeah.
All
is quiet on the Patterson front. Still got that 15th roster spot open. Yeah. Technically the 14th, I guess.
Yep.
Hell, man, I hope everyone has a great weekend.
For sure.
It's going to be gorgeous in Los Angeles or wherever you're listening to this. Please check us out on iTunes. Please review us. Subscribe.
And don't forget about the Himalaya app where you can summit the mountain of pod.
Find us on Twitter at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike, at Locked On Clips. We're hanging out there most of the day. We'll see you guys on Monday. We're going to be doing the Freshies. Hopefully something interesting happens this weekend. I'm sure it will with the Clippers. I've been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for listening.